Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Luckily, the other night I got to see a off-Broadway show that taught me a little bit about agency, so I wanted to talk about that on I Should Be Writing Season 18, Episode 18.
Well, I should be writing.
Hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast for wannabe fiction, science fiction, fantasy, genre authors. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I bring you this show twice a week, Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Twitch, twitch.tv/MightyMer, and then it is edited and included in my podcast feed, which you can find wherever you get your podcast. Just search for I Should Be Writing. You'll be able to find it. Trust me. It is the longest-running writing podcast in existence, I'm pretty sure. And there's no sign of it stopping, because I can't stop talking. As for who I am Mer Lafferty. I write science fiction and fantasy. I have written for video games, role-playing games, magazines. I've written for Star Wars, Minecraft. I've been nominated for a bunch of awards, won a couple of them, and I'm still a ball of worry and self-doubt. So wherever you are in your career and whatever you're feeling, I've probably felt it, or I'm feeling it right now, which is what we talk about in this show. First thing we talk about is something I really don't want to bring up, but I'm gonna, because it's the first thing we talk about, which is what I've been up to. And I've been not writing. Last week I was so proud I made this big spreadsheet to track my word count, and then my migraines hit and I've been either in pain or in sort of a world of messy, just ADHD, inability to focus things. I got it in my head that I needed to learn how to make an animated emote. There's a guy on YouTube who says it's easy. The guy on YouTube is wrong. So spent far too many hours on that. And I got some little stuff done, and I got my taxes done. My accountant wanted our taxes by March 1st. So, got the taxes done. This is by far the worst thing about being a freelancer. Absolutely. Yes, there are bad times. There are times when you get a bad review or your publisher doesn't want your book. But this is all like varied things. Taxes are like the dentist, because they're going to always come. And the worst part is the further you get into your career, the worse it gets, because there's the more little bitty income strings to track, and deductions, and oh Lord have mercy. Anyway, they're done, so that's a happy thing. But yeah, I have written zero words. I even got my brain is doing the jerk thing, you know, where I'm like, oh, I don't want to write on this book. I'll get an idea for a completely new book. It's got some fantasy and a lot of dark elements, which is not like me. So I don't know what I'm going to do with this. Also, I'm not feeling great mentally. But again, I have been getting over a migraine. I have an excuse, but if you're a Brandon Sanderson fan, you've probably already heard about this, but he, while many of us were fretting and having high anxiety over the last 2 years, Brandon Sanderson wrote 4 books. And I don't know Brandon. I know a lot of people who know Brandon, but I don't know him. I'm trying to figure out how he... And he's selling them via Kickstarter. The Kickstarter launched today. The goal was $1 million. The Kickstarter launched today. It's at $5.5 million now. And I'm not comparing myself to Brandon Sanderson per se, but it's more of, look, the guy is prolific and talented. I could be called talented. When you're feeling bad about yourself or your productivity or your talent or anything, and then something happens to show you that someone else doesn't have all those problems, it's a little rough. I'm not saying he's not talented or popular, because clearly both. It was just like, I don't know, I have to remind myself of that Onion article of how local man is surprised that now that he's home alone with all the time in the world, that this vast existential dread of the world ending is keeping him from writing his great novel. It was much cleverer and shorter, but it was a funny thing of, you know, this is not, this time doesn't have to be that time you've always wanted to go off and start your creative career, because this is not just time off. The lockdown was not time off. Even if you'd lost your job, even if you had nothing to do, it wasn't time off, because mentally we were all, still are, carrying a bunch of crap. So it's, and you know, I was like that. I had that problem last year with editing. Writing the book and editing the book was like pulling teeth. It was awful. Which of course then made the self-doubt go up. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah. Oh, and chat is letting me know it's up to 6.4 million. Thank you, Gabe. Okay, Kimmy, I know everybody else on the Writing Excuses podcast, and they're all the nicest people in the world. And I'm not really exaggerating much. Howard Taylor's wife might be nicer than all of them put together, but Mary Robinette, Howard Taylor, Dan Wells, they're all just gems of people. They're amazing. So I would not doubt that Brandon Sanderson would be the same. Did I say that right? Someone called me on misusing the I don't doubt thing. It's double negative. I don't get it. I believe he's a nice guy. That's all I'm trying to say. Anyway, on to the next part of the show, which is the good news part. And I'm just going to say the good news is we got our taxes in on time. And as much as it hurt to do, because I already had a migraine, I think we're getting the hang of it. Or our accountant has a pretty easy form to fill out. But I think that's really it, taxes. I got the interior layout for Station Eternity, and the interior looks good as the outside does. And I'll remind people, if you're following, you should have access to the yay button. If you're on mobile, I don't know if that's true. But we got to give Daniel a yay for submitting your first short story. That is amazing. Congratulations. That's amazing. We are here for you if you get the positive news that you are now a working writer, or if you get the positive news that you've sold some stories. We're here for you either way. And now to work on other stories. That's exactly the way to think it. Yes. Okay, Kimmy says, Shards asked me to pass on her good news. She finished her first outline ever. Wow, amazing. Outlines are hard. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. Meerkat also submitted a short story, first of the year. Congratulations. That's amazing. Y'all are on fire today. That's great. I don't think I have any in email. I've got people grumbling at me to answer emails. That's not good news. That's the opposite. I don't know. It could have happened when I was under the bed getting the thing away from the dog. Anyway, Gwenega, welcome. Sorry I missed your follow announcement. Welcome. Glad to have you here. And, oh, here's good news that came in just under the wire. Brian says, my rejection February total is 18 to add to the community pot. Thanks for all the support. That's amazing, Brian, but I'm not sure if you mean 18 on top of what we already have, or 18 minus what you've already reported. I'll email you about for that clarification, but you get the yay button for now, and then later we'll figure out how much to make the number go up. Ooh, Hildy Eric Locus published my interview with sci-fi artist Terry Lee. It's out today. That's amazing. Congratulations. Got a rejection over the weekend and a never responded. Is that good news? How do you know they never responded? How do you know they're not going to respond? But I will get you the ding for that rejection. Congratulations. Oh, Space Valkyries also got a rejection. More yay. More numbers going up. Team rejection already has 54. Oh, and I messed up that. I gotta change that. Sorry, it still says it's February. Oh, that's right. They published the story without the story in it. We talked about that. Okay. Yeah, that's not a yay. That's bad business on their part. That's unprofessionalism on their part. So I'm sorry about that. I guess that's technically a rejection, but because you shouldn't suffer for their neglect. So we'll get you another rejection for that. Good. I'm glad you got a nice rejection. Nice rejections are helpful. That's going to bother me. Oh, well. We're pretty much done with good news. If you have further good news, let me know in chat. If you have good news and you're listening to this later, then please email me with the subject good news, and I'll talk about it on the next show. So, for our main topic, we went to go see Hadestown on Sunday night. It was, I didn't realize it started out as Anais Mitchell wanted to write a musical in 2006, and it didn't fly. So she wrote a concept album with the music she wanted to put in the musical and released that in 2010, which was amazing, which is when I found it. And so listening to Hadestown over and over again, Hadestown is a story of Orpheus and Eurydice from the Greek myths, where Hades is more of a wealthy factory owner, and Eurydice and Orpheus are just hungry young lovers who want to build a life, but they're in poverty and they're young and hungry, and Orpheus is a dreamer and not much of a provider. And so Eurydice thinks, I'll go, you know, when Hades shows up on the train to pick up Persephone, she's like, wow, look at this big fancy guy. He's got money and power, and looks like he owns a really, really fancy place. So maybe I could go there and work and get food and stuff. And so she goes to Hades. And Greek myth, spoiler for a several thousand-year-old story, the story of Orpheus and Eurydice as I know it is, Orpheus is the son of a muse, and he's got a beautiful voice and can make flowers grow and stuff with his voice. he marries Eurydice, and then on her, at their wedding, she steps on a snake and dies and gets taken to the underworld. And Orpheus is so heartbroken that he wanders into Hades to get her back. He plays his lute, he cries, and moves Hades and Persephone to where they'll let her go, but only if she follows him and he doesn't look back. So he looks back, because he just doubts her whether she's there or not, and he loses her forever. Anyway, the music is amazing, and the story's amazing, and the dancing's amazing. But one thing they did, as I said, Persephone has, she shows up, and Orpheus is besotted with her, and she's like, look, are we going to be able to survive? We're both in poverty. How can we, help each other? And he's like, I'll sing! It'll be cool! And still he manages to win her heart, and then she ends up, like, hungry, and he's off making his song and won't pay attention to her, and so she makes the decision to go into Hades. She doesn't step on a snake. She's not acted upon. She makes a decision, and it's a bad decision. But she makes a decision, and I was thinking about that and realizing that this was a big move, because I am probably the only person in my generation who doesn't love The Princess Bride as much as everyone else. The dialogue is beautiful. The jokes are hysterical. The sword fighting is comparable to none. And Buttercup is a sexy lamp. The sexy lamp is, if you can replace the woman with a sexy lamp and nothing changes in the story, you got a sexy lamp. Buttercup has no agency. The only time she shows agency is when she's about to kill herself. And, I watch it and I get more and more irritated every time I see it. And I'm finally just like, I'm not a fan of this anymore. So it's, it was interesting in looking at this Greek myth and seeing that agency is not just like being strong and acting on your own. It's just making decisions. And sometimes they're bad. And I think it usually comes to women or children, adult men getting the power to move and act and decide in stories and other people moving along with them. What you need to remember is every character needs agency. And the sidekicks are not just going to follow along. They need to have a reason to do that. And some of the best conflicts in long... For some reason, I'm thinking a lot about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Some of the best conflicts are when Willow and Xander don't want to do what Buffy wants to do, for whatever reason. They're having their own things. They're the heroes of their own story. They're wanting to have their own agency, make their own decisions. And that can make really interesting conflict. It doesn't have to be a really strong character. There's one of my favorite series that I think gets overlooked among a bunch of male epic fantasy trilogy writers Melanie Rawn's The Sunrunner series. There's a prince is, I mean, it's pretty epic, but one of the little plot lines is a prince is raised with a very strong mother, and every woman in his life is super strong and amazing. And so a guy thinks he can manipulate the prince into marrying his daughter because his daughter is just basically a wallflower. She's a very pretty wallflower, but she's just a wallflower. And it turns out that near the end, she makes a decision, a couple of decisions, that, turn the tide of everything. But she is pretty much a sexy lamp through most of it until she takes her agency. So, agency... I think we get caught up in telling one character's story. And for a character to tell story, the other characters have to act in accordance. But if you don't let your characters make their own decisions, I mean, maybe someone doesn't want to go on this adventure because they're afraid of heights or the dark or spiders. Maybe someone's got something at home that they need to deal with that's more important than whatever their friend's dealing with. I hate bringing up that lady in Scotland, but it is one of those things where almost everybody's read those books, so you can reference it either in a positive or a negative light. But Hermione is so dedicated to rules and doing schoolwork that that's where she and Harry Potter clashed a lot. It kind of bit me once when I was working on the Shambling Guides and I had my two characters break up because I realized that if he was to do what he needed to do for his weird life and she needed to do what she needed to do, that didn't work together. And so it's basically like, to support you, I'd have to give up what I'm dealing with, and neither of them were willing to do that. So I'm like, wow, I didn't see this coming, but I don't see a way to save it. So they just kind of split. I am not a good romance writer. Maybe I could have thought of a different way for them to handle themselves. But then the publisher didn't want any more books, so it worked out. Agency is a tricky thing to navigate because different people are calibrated to want more or less agency from main character. True. And I think that, you know, it's accurate to say that some people think agency is being a quote-unquote strong, independent woman. I mean, agency can be making bad decisions. Agency can be supporting someone who's not really a nice person. But it still is a decision that the character makes for themselves. I always think about when Numbers Ninja was looking at colleges, it's like they all wanted leaders. And I tried to think about a college full of leaders. And it's just like a whole bunch of single people walking around saying really important things, but no one else paying attention to them because they're all leading. It's like they want a college full of protagonists. I'm like, look, I'm not saying be a doormat, but you gotta have some followers. You can't have a leader without a follower. I'm just saying. And comic relief can save the day. Or comic relief can do what the comic relief did at the end of Cabin in the Woods. Also, that was exercising agency and choosing not to act. World state can make agency levels very low too, depending on the protagonist. Yes, that is true. Speaking of real world state, I hope everybody is, I don't know, doing okay. You know, if you are in a position where you can support people who are hurting, either at home or abroad, or you can give money to a cause that helps people, I'd suggest doing it if you can. If you can't, you know, take care of yourself. But anyway, that's pretty much what I want to say about agency. Eurydice's choices really made me think about it, because we often see agency as people making decisions to make them a strong, independent character. They don't have to be independent when they make their decisions. They don't have to be good decisions. They can be terrible decisions that make their downfall. But just make sure that your characters want something and act to get it. And whether you let them have it or not is your call as the author. Oh, we got some more yay here. Christian writing, you're not getting out of this. Yay for two rejections yesterday, trying to give yourself lots of kindness to compensate. We are giving you the yay button to compensate because you're a working writer And working writers, it's hard. It's hard to be a working writer. And nobody understands the rejection awfulness like us. So we are cheering you for being a working writer, for continuing to work, and for trying again, because you can do this. So congratulations. Thank you for contributing to team rejection. We are here for you on the sad part, but we're also cheering for you on the happy part because you're a working writer. And that's amazing. So yes, be kind to yourself. Give yourself whatever treat you like. Sugar, alcohol, caffeine, cat on your lap, whatever. And get back to it tomorrow. You're allowed to be sad. We're here for you and with you. Yes, decisions that affect the plot don't always need to be made by the protagonist or antagonist. That's true, Daniel. Thank you. It would be amazing. Choose your own adventure, though. It would be. I've wanted to write stories about the chosen one being born, only they weren't needed. Because, like, the country's in peace or something. And I realized that's more of a clever idea than an engrossing story. Sometimes I just like to make weird decisions. So I'm going to end the podcast for now. We're going to continue in the chat in the BarCon part of the show. If you want to participate in the BarCon, you can either hang out with us Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m. on twitch.tv/mightymer. It's free. You just show up. If you want to chat, you need to make join Twitch. Also free. Or you can listen to the entire show via Patreon, patreon.com/mightymer. Yeah, that's how you get involved. You can see me at mightymer@gmail.com or merverse.com. On most socials, I'm mightymer. I'm most active on Twitter and Twitch. My books, Station Eternity, comes out in October. It is available for pre-order. You can pre-order through my friendly local bookstore, and you can get it signed. I'm taking my Amazon affiliate links off my site because Amazon kicked me out of the affiliate program because apparently I wasn't selling any books on my site. And if you are dormant for 3 months, they kick you out. So I guess they don't deserve to have their links on my site. So I'm going to be connecting to my local store. The prices will probably be higher, but you can support a local bookstore and get it signed by me. So yeah, that is how to catch up with me and catch up with the podcast. And remember, if you want to support the show, you can do it at patreon.com/mightymer or my Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/mightymer. And take care, and I'll see you Thursday, and you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching the Doctor Who. I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.